Please bow with me for a word of prayer. Lord, come now. Open our hearts and minds. Deliver your message in spite of my words. In your name we pray. Amen. A long time ago, there were three people who watched the stars. They've been called wise men, kings, and magi. Biblical scholars vary in their opinions from educated scientists to disrespected fortune tellers or even possibly religious leaders in their country. We know that they must have been somewhat educated and they must have spent their lives studying the stars in the night sky. Because when there were changes in the sky, they noticed. They probably had journals and had recorded shooting stars and comets and planets. So it was only natural that they would have noticed a special star that arrived in the sky. In fact, I imagine when that star showed up that they looked back in their journals and like, did this ever happen before in our lifetime? Is this brand new? From all of their studying of the stars and the reading writings of the stars, they figured this must be the star that announced the new kind of king. One of them says, let's follow it and go honor this king. And then there was certain to have been much discussion. Are we sure that this is the star? What if we're wrong? We will look foolish and lose people's respect. What if we don't make it? It's going to be a really long, long journey. The nights are cold and the days are hot. There are bandits and storms and animals. What if we run out of supplies? What if we're never seen again? Are you sure that it is worth the risk to follow that light in the sky? They probably went on, we've never seen anything this exciting. We may never see it again. We should go. I want to know what's at the other end of that star. And somewhere deep inside of them, there was a voice that said, go. And they did. They packed up their supplies. They probably hired a few people to go along with them. And off they went. This long journey was a pilgrimage. It may have been longer than expected. After several days, they most likely needed to reassure each other to keep going and not turn around to that safe place called home. But there was that voice inside of them that kept saying, follow the star. And they did. It wasn't an easy journey. Thankfully, they did take enough supplies and were occasionally able to get out of the heat. And they finally arrived in Jerusalem. And they asked people, where is the one born king of the Jewish people? Well, Herod got word of what they were asking and calls them to his palace. He listens to them talk about the stars. He hears the description of the light that they are following. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jerusalem, inform Herod that indeed it is prophesied that this king is to be born in Bethlehem. Our three pilgrims are told that location. And then I kind of imagine in some creepy kind of way, Herod says, and when you found him, let me know because I want to come worship him too. The wise folks head to Bethlehem, perhaps a little perplexed, I imagine. The religious leaders of the Jews hadn't seen the star. They didn't even know of his birth. How could that be? The scribes and the Pharisees were surprised by the news of the star. And yet he was to be their king, their Messiah. They enter Bethlehem and find Mary and Jesus. Not at all the kind of a place that a king should be living in, but rather a humble place. They enter the home and kneel down and worship Jesus. They give the gifts they've brought of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's surprising to me that there's no record of the conversation that must have happened, the kind of questions they asked Mary about the baby king. Why is this a king living in Bethlehem? You know it's said nothing good comes out of Bethlehem. Why such humble beginnings for this baby? Who has come to visit so far besides us? Shepherds? You let the shepherds get near this baby, those dirty shepherds? You let them come and visit him? How did you know he was born to be king? Somehow, these wise ones knew that he was the king. While they were in Bethlehem, they were warned by God not to return to Herod and his creepy ways. And so after following the star for a very long, long time, and after their visit with the Holy Family, they head home by a different route. Honestly, they know the sky so well that they could read the stars like a map to lead them home. They went home by a different route, but it's more than that. They followed the star of God, and God placed it in the sky to lead them to the light of the world. The conversation on the way home must have been much different than on the way there. Instead of asking, "Are you sure we're going the right direction and maybe we should go back?" it was probably, "I'm so glad we took the risk to respond to God's call to follow the star. What is the future going to bring with Jesus as king?" Can you imagine? We almost turned around. We would have missed it. And the voices from inside of them calls them to be different because of their experience with Emmanuel, God with us. Today is Epiphany Sunday, the last of 12 days of Christmas. It's not often that we get to celebrate Epiphany on the actual day. Besides being the day we celebrate the King showing up in the sky, it's a celebration of light, and it's a good time to move on from the season of indulgence and gift-giving to celebrating the light of Christ in the world. Now that the cookies are stale, and the presents have been put away, and the champagne is flat, and our waistlines need some time off from eating, we can begin to focus on what happens after Jesus is born. What does it mean for the light of the world to be born into our lives? How do we go home from preparing for and worshiping the baby Jesus to living out our faith in Christ? Light is a key concept to Epiphany. The light of the star, the light of the world, and from Isaiah we hear, "Arise, shine, your light has come." We celebrate the light that shines in the darkness, guiding us to the child who reveals the light of God to the world. The light of God is offered to us as a message of hope. Isaiah is writing to people who are struggling. They are trying to come back from being exiled from their homeland, and they're struggling to rebuild. And it's hard, and it's depressing, and it feels like they are lacking hope. They've done a lot of work, and they've been gone for a long time, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to get any better. If you read chapters 58 and 59 before 60, you'll see this description of gloom and despair and hopelessness. One verse says, "Justice is far from us. Righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows." But then suddenly, right at the beginning of chapter 60, "Arise, shine, your light has come. The Lord's glory has shone upon you. Though darkness covers the earth and gloom the nations, the Lord will shine upon you. God's glory will appear over you." There is hope in the words that Isaiah offers them. They are hopeful words for us too. I'm not going to list all the troubles in our world and in our lives. I do that a lot from up here, and we know it. Many of us are living with a lot of stress and burdens. But Isaiah says, "Don't give up. There is hope." And at the same time, what if the words "arise, shine" mean get up, get out of your normal routine, be the hope for the world. Get out of your comfort zone. Take a risk and be the light that the world is looking for. What if it is a call to action for all those who've experienced the light of the world for themselves? If we, like the stargazers, have followed the light and it has led us to Jesus, how does the experience with Christ change us and call us to be something more? Our church's new mission statement is on the front of the bulletin, "Journey with Jesus," and underneath it says, "Hashtag do good, hashtag show love." But to journey with Jesus is more than a personal journey. Our journey has to lead us to something. It has to wake us up to something. We, the church members of the body of Christ, are called to be light because we journey with Jesus. Many Christians believe that as long as I have a personal relationship with Jesus, if I say my prayers, if I read my scripture, that I don't have to do anything else. I think of that as me-focused Christianity. And I understand that Jesus still loves people. I'm not saying that it's wrong to do all of those things. Those are good things to do. But this kind of Christianity takes care of me. But our journey, our prayers, our scripture studying should help us to hear the call that our faith is meant to bring light into the world we live in. We are called to be in ministry with the lost and the hopeless. We are called to reach and nurture those living in the deep shadows. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says to us, "You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see good things you do and praise God in heaven." The call to be light in the world can be challenging for people. It might call us to do something risky. It might take us out of our comfort zone. It might be challenging. But to follow the light of the world and be the light of the world is worth the risk. As part of this church, we have all kinds of opportunities to be light in the world. But even in our own homes, in our places of work, in our schools, we can be light. You know, there are posters, shirts, and stickers out there right now that say things like, if you can't be anything else, be kind. Or kindness matters. So I have to ask a question. Do we really need an ad campaign to tell us to be kind? Really? We need an ad campaign? We've come to that part in our life where we need an ad campaign to be kind. Unfortunately, it is the world that we live in right now. So being light can be as simple as being kind. Being light can be offering to bring someone to church. If it inspires you, if it encourages you in some way, if it brings joy and understanding, share it with others. I know some people just think we're crazy to be followers of the light of the world, but others are just waiting for someone to share it with them. So take a risk. Tell somebody about your church. Tell somebody about your faith. The risk might be that they're going to say you're crazy. But on the good side, they might say, "I want to know more." Being light can be part of your career. Nurses, doctors, teachers, social workers, counselors, financial consultants, and even lawyers, believe it or not, all have jobs that can offer hope to someone who needs it. Being light can be participating in the missions and ministries of the church. I suspect that when the three followers of the star returned home, people noticed a difference in them. Maybe they were able to offer hope and light in their own part of the world. Maybe once they told the story of all they saw and heard, many more people started studying the scriptures and waiting to see what this newborn king would do. Maybe because they found courage to do something new, they were able to help others in new ways. Maybe they learned to listen to that voice that came from somewhere inside of them, and it led them on many more journeys of faith. They had experienced the baby who came to be light of the world. Revealing God's light to all, they had to be changed by the experience. We have to be open to letting the experience change us, letting it call us, embolden us, free us to be light for the world. Arise, shine, your light has come. Amen.